And we're back. How are we doing?
Great.
Happy Valentine's Day. What, am I hostile to you? Really? Come on, Happy Valentine's Day. All right, quick commentary on the announcements today when they talked about the couple that have been married the longest. Will you raise your hand so I can see where you're sitting? Okay. When they said they're still on the honeymoon, I noticed that they smiled and nodded. I think that's pretty stinking awesome, don't you? Yeah, after that meeting. And I know you. You were thinking my wife's still pretty hot, so that's pretty awesome. So, so happy Valentine's Day, man. I'm excited about today. Are you?
Yeah, man.
We just finished up a series called What Jim Said, and this is a great moment, I think, in the life of our community. We journeyed together through this book, and people were reading the text together and having conversations about it and posting things on our Facebook, and it was really exciting hearing everything that people were saying. And then James talked about putting our faith into action. So there wasn't just what we believe, but also what we do. And so you guys heard about the Generosity Challenge. Starts next week. One of the coolest things I think we've ever done. And so this week what we're going to do is we're going to bridge that gap and talk about worship today. One of the things that really is putting our faith into action. And specifically talking about when we come and we gather to worship. So today we're going to answer three questions. What is worship? Why should or why do we worship? And then how do we worship? And then we're actually going to talk through the lyrics of one of the worship songs that we do. And then we're going to spend some time as a church community worshiping together at the end. All right? Good?
Good.
Ready to go?
Ready.
All right, Mike, tell us what worship is.
Well, let me start off by saying worship is a very, very broad subject, and you are not going to get the exhaustive, complete concordance on worship from us, because there are a lot of different pieces and parts of it, but we really talked even a little bit about worship last summer, for those of you who are here, and what we really had concluded and talked about was that worship is our response to God for who he is and what he's done. Let me say that again. Worship is our response to God for who he is and what he's done. And we say that because we see this a lot in Scripture, that people respond to God, and that there's a lot of things that we know about God from reading the Scriptures, a lot of characteristics and things that we see about God. But then because of all those things and because of what God has done for us, it causes us to respond. There's something within us that is wired to respond to God and worship. And let me share this passage with you. It's actually from Revelation chapter 4. This is kind of a glimpse of what worship is like in heaven. And this was written by John, one of the disciples of Jesus, who was exiled on an island, and God gave him this revelation to just kind of to share with his people that said, hey, this is what you can expect. So it'd be great for us to kind of understand how to worship now, because this is something that as followers of Christ that we're going to be doing for eternity, right? So Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 8, he says this, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings, which, let me just say, that's kind of weird.
But we're going to try this next weekend here at the Orchard, right?
It's a totally new format. It's going to be eyes everywhere. No,
wings.
We're not doing that. Okay, day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Now this passage has a lot of stuff in it, but you get just an idea, a little bit of a like I said, a glimpse of this worship that is happening in heaven before the throne of God. There are these creatures, but at the same time, there's also these elders who lay their crowns, who lay their lives before the king.
So it's showing what worship is.
Yeah.
But it also, I think, it really is showing the second question.
Because
why do we worship?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we worship, and verse 11 says why they were worshiping. It says, well, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will, they were created and have their being. So we were created by someone. We were created by God. We didn't create ourselves. God created us. And so then we believe, if we believe that, we understand that God created us. We also have to understand that God has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. And because of that, that's the reason right there. If nothing else, that reason alone is reason to worship him. Mm.
So we worship God because he's worthy. You mentioned that it's giving worth. Right. Why else is he worthy? I mean, he knows our lives. He created our lives. What are some other things that God has done?
You name it. I mean, what has God not done, I guess? Is
probably what has God done? Question. He created the heavens and the earth. He created our bodies. That's pretty amazing. He intervenes in our life. He cares for us. He places people around us to encourage us. He gives us the church community to do life with. The scripture says he put the moon and the stars in the place. He spread out the sky over empty space. We were talking about this last night. In Job, you know, this whole interaction between Job and his whole life is a wreck. And Job's interacting with God, and God was like, well, where were you when I laid out the foundations of the earth? And like mm-hmm. for three chapters, like Job 38 or so, all these things that God has done, and it sort of makes you feel really small when you think you've done all these things and you see how amazing God is. But then that makes us want to respond because we see how amazing he is.
I mean, I would include the price that was paid for us. I mean, we just sang about that Jesus paid it all. And I think there's so many different reasons why we would want to worship God. And I feel like so many different reasons why we are compelled to worship God as a response to him.
So are there any benefits to us when we worship?
Yeah, it's kind of a tough question because on one hand, I really believe that our worship is, we're giving worth to God. It's not about me because I'm not worthy. I can walk in this room and maybe I had a great week. Maybe I had a really bad week. Maybe I made really great choices and had, you know, great connection time with God. Maybe I didn't. And maybe I had a really rough week. If I walk in and it's about me, then I choose then whether I'm going to worship or not. But it's not about me. It's about God. And so my focus then is on God. He's the one that is worthy. Despite anything that's happening with me, he never changes. And so he is always worthy to be praised and worshiped. But I do think there are some benefits. I think there's some things that happen in us and that happen because of us gathering together and worshiping. I don't know how you guys have your experience here in this place. Maybe this is your first time here, but there's something to be said about when the people of God get together and they proclaim the same thing at the same time. You know, it's like we're coming together in agreement. So when we sing the songs together and we're all singing the same words, it's like we're proclaiming this truth about God, about who he is and what he's done out loud together. And there's this power. I think there's this awesome power in that when the body does that.
Well, and the scripture says that God inhabits the praise of his people. So I think also just a benefit is we get to be with God, or we get to connect with God. Right?
Right. Yeah, I think it's a time for us to reconnect because it's easy. I think, and that's why it's awesome that this is kind of the first day of the week, or it's our weekend, because then we start this week off. And, you know, as we go through the week, I don't know about you. I don't know how many phone calls you had to return this week or how many things were on your to-do list. But life gets really busy, and we start to kind of go off to the side. And it's really easy to let things start filling our minds and allowing us to be distracted. So this is a great opportunity, too, to then refocus and recenter and say, okay, God, I want to get right on track to having you as my focus, you as my center, so that as I start this week, I'm in a better place than if
That's good. That's good. Okay, well, let's talk then about... So we talked about what is worship. We talked about why. So let's just talk about some practical things. And I want you to pay close attention because, like, I grew up in a background where worship in a gathering looked a certain way. And maybe you came from a church background where it might have looked different. Or maybe you didn't grow up in church at all. And so this whole thing is new for you. So we're actually going to go back to the Bible. We're going to work on our Hebrew pronunciation skills this morning. And we're going to look at a couple of words from the Old Testament used for worship, and we're going to say them together. You can wow, you impress your friends with your two Hebrew words. And this gives you an opportunity to spit on people, too, in Jesus' name. So I'm just kidding. So The first word, looking back at the Old Testament, the word that's mostly used when you see the English word worship, the Hebrew word, they're going to go and put up on the screen is shakha. Now say that with me. Shakha. Okay, now you want to like really go, do that. Dude, go ahead, and it's okay, do that. Okay, let's say it together again. Shakha. Okay. That means to bow down or to fall flat. Okay, so the actual word used for worship, you see many times when people in the Old Testament were worshiping God, they fell down before him. Why? Well, worship involves two things. Revelation, that's about who God is, and response. Our response to him is because of what he's done. We see this reveal nature about him. So that's the first thing, shaka, to bow down, to fall flat, to pay respect. The second one is fun to say, yada.
Yada.
Say it again. Yada.
Yada.
All right. Yada means to extend the hands in reverence. And that means, again, in reverence and respect and awe and in wonder of who this person is. Yada. Move to the New Testament. A Greek word, proskuneo. It means to kiss or crouch in reverence or adoration. And actually, literally translated, this word hints at a dog licking the hand of its owner. Now, I'm a germaphobe, so that kind of freaks me out, but ignore that. Why does your dog kiss you when you come up to it? Because what? It loves you. Right. Last night, someone said something about peanut butter. So I was like, I'm not seeing that, but maybe. The dog kisses your hand in affection because it loves you. Okay? So in the New Testament, when you see the word worship many, many times, that word, it means that, to crouch in reverence or to kiss, to show affection, sort of submitting. So that's a biblical word. So knowing that, here are like six things that the Bible talks about, practical examples of how you worship. Lifting of the hands, singing, kneeling. One of the Hebrew words that's used in Psalms a lot means to play a stringed instrument. So like what you guys are doing, leading worship, you're actually worshiping God through your instrument, not just leading us as a community. Talking about his deeds, proclaiming the goodness of God to others, that's a way that we worship. And finally, shouting. So let's dive right into the first one here, hands raised. And you know, again, for me, like coming from a certain background, that one automatically kind of freaks me out just a little bit. But it's interesting what the scripture says. Psalm 134, verse 2 says, lift your praising hands to the holy place and bless God. Another translation says, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. So I see what scripture says, but because of my background and what I grew up in, like we had kind of this rule, like if you lifted your hands, which hardly anyone, usually only did it at youth camp or when you first came back, or there was like the experimental people, they were like really way out on the edge, they would lift, but there was a rule, like you couldn't lift your hand above the collarbone, you know, oh Lord, you know, and and you had to say, oh Lord, when you did it. But anyway, so like I had this sort of aversion, even the first time I really heard someone preaching out of this and talking about this scripture, I was like, yeah, but that just feels so weird. So I was in a church service with about, I don't know, maybe 800 other people or 1,000 people. And my son, Brendan, who's 8, he was like a year or two, he was about 2 years old. And I was holding him, and it was during the worship service, and all around the room, people's hands were all in the air. I mean, they were really free, and they were worshiping God, and they were just submitting to him and just praising him. And it made me feel really uncomfortable. And my 2-year-old, like, looks around the room at everyone, and he lifts both hands up into the air and smiles, like, the biggest smile ever. Wow. And it made me realize, like, he has no aversion to this because he has no baggage associated with it. It's scriptural. It doesn't mean that you have to do it, but these are things the Bible talks about. Although there are imperatives that say do this or do that, but it's one way that we can praise God, and it really set me free. Seeing him do that made me realize I can lift my hand in the air. I can worship God. It's not weird. It's biblical.
You know, as a parent, I kind of have had a similar experience, because at least with my child, but I don't know how many of you as parents have gone to maybe pick up your child, especially like out of the crib or something like that, and your child reaches up their hands like that to you. And the first time I experienced that, it's like I had this glimpse of, man, this is what God feels like when his children reach up to him. And wow. So it's kind of like this image of reaching up to the Father saying, God, I need you.
Wow. That's That's amazing. That's a statement of, is not about, or I'm definitely needy. It's not about me.
Right.
That's hardcore. Let's do a little experiment here.
Yeah.
We're going to just ease the tension that you're feeling. So go ahead right now and just if you wore deodorant today, if you did not, you do not have to participate in the following exercise. If you wore deodorant today, lift your left hand up in the air right now.
No.
Now go ahead and keep them up. Wave them. Lay your right hand up in the air. Now look around. Everyone in here has their hands in the air, so it's not weird anymore, so don't feel bad about it ever again. All right, give yourself a hand. Woo! All right. All right. It's biblical, I'm just saying. The next one is singing, which we love to do. Psalm 95:1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And I've heard some of you sing, and it's definitely a joyful noise. But I'm just kidding. There's somebody like about 3 o'clock this afternoon who's going to get really offended. Wait a second. But see, God sees that as an expression of your heart to him. And maybe you sing in the shower, you sing in the car. Singing especially moves me. I was at a concert a few months ago. This little indie band called U2 was doing this concert out at Soldier Field. And you may have heard of them. I don't know. They're on TV sometimes. And there were like 80,000 people there. And it struck me like, they would do this thing where they would just say, you guys sing it, and Bono would stop singing, and 80,000 people are like singing. You know, like, you can't help but get goosebumps. I mean, it feels like you're in like the most massive worship gathering ever, honestly. Music moves us. A lot of the Psalms were originally set to music, sometimes memorizing stories. You know, like a case in point, VeggieTales. If you have little kids, VeggieTales, sometimes those songs get stuck in my head and they just will not die. They're there and there and there. But like, I remember the story they're talking about. Music has like this emotive connection. Or you hear like a great song that really moves you. That's why I personally, I think country music is cool.
Oh.
Because it's a great...
Let me interject real quick.
No. You just stave that one off. But we identify with the story, and so singing is one great way. A couple of quick more. Giving is one way that we do that. We talked about giving back to God. That's a sign of worship for us. Another corporate thing we do is communion. And we love celebrating the Lord's Supper together. That's us worshiping and remembering what it is that Jesus did for us. A couple more. Corporate reading. Sometimes during a talk or whatever, Scott will have a text come up and ask everyone to read that together, and we read it out loud. That's a way that we're worshiping as a church community. Another one is corporate prayer, or corporate adoration, maybe. And what I mean by that is, like, remember how I said it's revelation and response? Well, the revelation is of who he is and what he's done. So what I want you to do right now, we're going to do a little exercise. I want you to think in your mind, who is God? What's something about God, either an attribute, something he's done? So just close your eyes. And just think. And here, it may be that I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, God, you are. And then you'll respond. So it might be, God, you're holy. God, you're worthy. God, you're my Savior. God, you're my Redeemer. God, you're the Messiah. God, you're the Creator. God, you're full of mercy. God, you're full of love. God, you're full of grace. Whatever that might be, that you have this picture of who God is, some of the great, wonderful things about him. As a community, we're gonna say these. I don't want you just to shout them out loud. And we're going to bring the lights down just a touch. And I'm going to say, God, you are. And just right where you are, just say it off. And what's really cool is it's you proclaiming the goodness of God and the good things about God, but you're also going to hear other people around the room as they shout out what God is to them, the good thing about God. It's really powerful. So here we go. God, you are.
Savior. Huh.
God, you are.
Mighty.
God, you are.
Holy.
Huh. God, you are. I heard merciful. That's good. Oh. God, you are. You see how all around this room people are proclaiming the truth of God. That's us centering our hearts on him. You can bring the lights back up. Real quickly, the last thing is kind of difficult, but worship isn't always, upbeat in our hearts when we come in, and we'll talk about that more in a second, but there's this idea of lament or brokenness before God is really a type of worship. We see in Isaiah 6 this story where Isaiah has a glimpse into this similar scene to what we saw in Revelation 4, and he sees God for who he really is and how holy and how majestic and how powerful God really is. And Isaiah's response is, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips." And so Isaiah is saying, "Dude, I am not worthy to be around you right now." We see that in the New Testament. Jesus was sleeping on this boat and the waves are going crazy and the disciples wake him up and they say, "You got to do something, Master." And he stands up and he, with his words, commands the waves to be still. And Peter sees this revelation of God in the flesh, and his response, what does he say? "Go away from me, I'm a sinful man." Sometimes worship is just our response of brokenness before God and realizing how, in our own self, how messed up we are. But what I love about Isaiah, it says in verse 6 here, that one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And even in those moments where you're sitting and you're reflecting, you're thinking, "I'm not worthy," you know what? You're right, but God is.
Right.
And God acted on our own behalf by sending Christ on our behalf. He took the initiative to come and to make things right with God, to make a way for us to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And because of what he's done, that makes him worthy.
Right.
That's why we worship. So, Mike, let me ask you a couple of just practical questions here. I would love it if you would talk about Mike's our creative arts director, if you didn't know that. Mike and his team plan the weekend worship gatherings, and they're very intentional about it. It wasn't like you woke up this morning and, "Well, let's just do some songs." Like, you're really intentional. Tell us how you choose what songs you're doing or how you do that, and what do you hope that we walk away with?
It's kind of like the people that think that we just work on the weekend.
Right.
Well, we do take it very seriously, and every song that we do is very intentional, even when we occasionally use a secular song or a pop song. It's just something that we are hoping that people will connect either with the talk, that they'll remember when they hear it on the radio. But when we think through the weekend, we really spend a lot of time praying about and thinking through, okay, God, what is it that you want to do unique to this service this weekend? And we really even think that and try to pray that for each of the three services that we currently have. But as we're praying through that, and a lot of times there'll be times that we spend with God, and we'll be worshiping with God, and there'll be maybe there's things that God's kind of feel like God is doing in us that we want to share, or that we want to feel like that would be something that would connect with other people, or that we feel like as a community, based on what we see and what we are experiencing in conversation, and that God really wants to minister somehow through a particular song. But our focus is always to try to get people from off of ourselves onto God. And like this weekend, as an example, you know, we started off singing a song saying, you know, "God, I'm holding nothing back. I'm alive to live for you. You've given everything for me. So I'm proclaiming a truth about who I am because of who God is and what God has done for me." Because that's changed me. I'm not the same as I was before I accepted Christ. So they're proclaiming a truth about ourself because of who God is. And then we sang a song, "Blessed Be Your Name," that says, you know, "God, no matter what, so I'm not going to hold anything back." And that includes that, you know, even that when I'm feeling like it and even when I'm not feeling like it, that I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. And then even going from there and singing "Jesus Paid It All." And again, proclaiming some truth about who God is. Again, putting our focus on God and saying, "God, you have done so much for me. And my life, the only reason why I have life, the only reason why I have hope is because of you." And then even singing a song called "Son of God," again, just proclaiming some characteristics and really naming out loud who God is. And again, I think there's something really powerful when we gather together as God's people, broken. I mean, there's none of us that come in here and we're perfect and have it made. If you feel like, "Hey, I'm a mess," then you're in the right place, because that's really what this community is. We're all that way. And so it's a great place to be together and all proclaiming these truths together. And so that's kind of what we go through when we're looking at the songs. We really want to have a way for people to reconnect with God or to connect with God maybe for the first time.
Wow, that's good. Okay, then let me ask you just kind of a difficult or maybe a tough question. I mean, what about the times that we walk in and we're not really in the mood to worship? I mean, you guys have all been there. I've been there where you're having a morning that's chaotic, and you know the clothes haven't dried fast enough in the dryer, and everybody's yelling at each other, and you know you kick the kids and beat the dog and slap your husband, and then you get in the car, and everybody finally you manage this chaos, and you get in the car, and you're on your way to church, and you're yelling at each other the whole way, and you know. And then you pull into the parking lot, and it's still bigger, and then you know your doors open, and you get out, and you're stomping toward the building, you know, and then you open the front door, and the greeter's there, and you're like, "Hello, these are my beautiful children, my loving, honestly kind husband," and you check your kids in, and you come in here, and the band is playing, and you just feel like a wreck. Anybody willing to admit they've been there before? Yeah. And so, like, maybe your week is bad. Maybe you had not a really great week, and you don't feel like... I mean, it's easy to say, well, come in and shout and sing and lift your hands and dance and do whatever your reaction, your response to God is. But what about when you don't feel like it? How do I have an encounter with God when I don't feel like it?
Well, it's not easy. And I think one of the scriptures in, I think it's John 4:23, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he says... you know, God is looking for worshipers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. I think the truth part of that is worshiping God, being real. And, you know, we walk in here and sometimes you may not feel like it. And I think it's okay to be real before God. I mean, if we aren't, we're kidding ourselves because we're thinking that God doesn't know who I really am and how I'm really feeling. I mean, that's kind of a joke. God knows exactly what you're going through. He made you. He knows the deepest, darkest parts of you. He knows the best parts of you. He knits you together. So he knows all of the things about you. And so there's no need for us to try to hide that. At the same time, if we, again, remember that it's not about us, it's about giving worth to God. And I think a lot of times if we come in with that attitude and we say, okay, you know, I'm just going to take a minute. I'm just going to try to be quiet before God and just really hear what he has to say. And then I'm going to engage. I really want to proclaim out loud who God is because I know that that's going to change my attitude. It's going to change my focus. It's going to change where I'm centered at right now. Right. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do, but I think being prepared, even, you know, coming when we're getting ready to come and meet together, break the routine so that it's not like this is the same as every other day. Not that you're always coming to the building every day, but when we're getting together, do something a little bit different. Maybe in the car, you sing, and you're like, "I can't sing, Mike, worth a lick," and that's fine. You know, make the joyful noise, and everybody singing together, even in the car, sometimes will help change your attitude. It'll sometimes change your mood and help change your focus. You can also, maybe somebody in the car would or the vehicle would read a scripture passage together, preferably not the driver so that you don't get in an accident. Sometimes reading a passage together, maybe even talking through that, just something to help get your mind focused on God, getting it off of ourselves and getting it on God so that when you come into this place, now you're in a totally different frame of mind.
Right.
And yeah, maybe your week was rough, but you know what? You can come in still going, you know what? God is not changing. He's never changing, and he is worthy to be praised. Yeah. So I'm going to praise him.
Man, it's amazing watching the stories coming out of Haiti of these people who have experienced like the worst tragedy they could possibly imagine. Even the day of, people were pouring into the streets and were singing songs to God. I read this morning about today is Haiti. They were having a national day of prayer. And apparently the government has said, we're not going to sponsor that, but the people decided to have it anyway, which is amazing. And so they poured out in the streets, and they're praying and singing and shouting to God, even in the midst of their situation. So maybe, you know, for you or me, it's coming in and just sitting down at the very beginning and just taking a deep breath and just going, God, I'm trying to put it all out of my mind. And often when I pray, I don't know if you're like this, but when I pray, I usually start out, God, I need, God, I want, God, I need this, me. I really tried to shift that and start off with, God, you are. God, I'm thankful that you're worthy of praise. I'm thankful that you care about me. I'm thankful that you snagged me out of the darkness and brought me into the light. God, I'm thankful for you. And then, Lord, here's where I am. And maybe it's starting that way. What we're going to do is I'm going to give you sort of three questions you can ask yourself as you come engage in worship. And then we're going to talk through the lyrics to a song. And you can use these questions as we talk through these so that you understand that the songs that they pick, they're intentional about that the lyrics are meaningful. They're not just a catchy melody or whatever, but they're saying something about the truth of God and how we should respond. So the first question is, am I ready to engage God? And like you just talked about, maybe you're not, and that's okay. All of us have been there. We've been there many times. And you come in, and maybe you just need to be still and ask God to speak to you and become ready to engage God. That's a hard issue. Am I ready? Number two, what's God saying to me through these songs? If you're not already asking this type of question, imagine how different the corporate worship gathering would feel if you went into it with this question. God, you're going to say something to me today. Help me to understand what that is. Not just through Scott's talk or whoever's teaching, but through the music. God, what are you saying to me? And then the final thing, number three, what should my response be? Revelation always requires a response. You cannot come face to face with the holy, pure, perfect God and not have some kind of response. And maybe for you, that's lifting your hands. If you've never done that, try it today. Maybe it's kneeling on the ground and putting your face in the seat and just going, God, I'm a wreck and I need you to fill me up. But it requires a response. So ask God what your response should be. Let's go ahead and put the lyrics up to a song called Here I Am to Worship. And we're going to talk through this, and then we're actually going to sing as a church community together. So let's just talk through these lyrics. I'd love it if you guys would read this out loud with us. And as we're doing this, ask yourself these questions. God, what are you saying to me? And then at the end, what do you want me to do? Let's read that together. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. What's going on in those lyrics?
Well, light of the world, you step down into darkness. I mean, Jesus coming to this earth.
Right.
The John 1 passage, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, I mean, the whole idea that Jesus came here and opened my eyes so that I could see the beauty that comes from God.
Right.
And it's a hope that we have of a life spent with you.
Right. That's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep. So there's the revelation. We're talking about God. Then the chorus says this. Here I am to worship. Read this with me. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Now the second verse continues to talk about who he is. It says this. King of all days, oh so highly exalted. Glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created. All for love's sake became poor. That's amazing. All for love's sake. He emptied himself. He poured himself out for you and me. And that's what's wild is when you go to the bridge of this, it says this. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Think about that just for a second. That despite how much of a wreck we are, this is the essence of the gospel, is that despite where we are, that God's had so much love for us. And you see it in football games in the end zone when ESPN flies over this John 3:16. But this is the essence of the God that we serve, that God so loved the world, you, me, every person, and knew and recognized that we were broken in our humanity, mm-hmm. that he gave his only son, that through him we might have eternal life. There was a price that was paid. It was his only son, and he willingly gave him up for you and me. You see, when we're singing the lyrics of this song, we are proclaiming deep, powerful truths about God and who he is. So what we want to do is, I'm going to ask you right where you are, just to, whatever's in your lap, your hands, just put it down for a moment to still your heart, to begin to let whatever happened in your week just fade away for a few moments as you engage God, thinking of the truth of God. And take a couple of moments and prepare yourself as we're just quiet. And then in a few seconds, Mike's going to pray. And we're just going to ask God to meet with us. And then we're going to stand together as a church community and sing. Just close your eyes and just receive from God.
God, we just want to come to you today and really thank you, God, for all that you've done. We see in your word, God, of who you are and characteristics. And God, we see in your creation the beauty that you've made. we see all of these things that are surrounding us, the universe. And God, we know that you have done so much for us. God, even just this community right here, story after story of lives that are being changed because of you, because of your love. And God, I just want to praise you. We want to praise you together this morning and really proclaim out loud, God, who you are, that you are the light of the world, that you are the hope that we have. And because of that, God, we want to respond to you. We want to engage you. We expect to meet you in this place. And that God, this morning, I would just pray that we really feel like that you really want to do something great in our worship gatherings here on the weekends. Maybe even something new, maybe something stronger. That God, as we continue to try to connect with you and to really to allow ourselves to be drawn into you, that God, that you would move in an awesome and mighty ways in this church community. So powerful, so strong that it impacts the community around us. It impacts our city, our state, our nation. I pray for every one of the people that are here right now, God, that they would open up their heart and their lives and their minds, their thoughts, their focus, that we would allow ourselves to be totally centered on you, to give you our full and devoted attention, to praise you and worship you because you are worthy. You are worthy, God. Thank you, God, for your son. Thank you for the hope that we have. And it's with that hope that we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.